I'm AJ, a recovering, grateful adult child of an alcoholic and a codependent narcissist. Thank you, Zoe, for being dedicated to this process. Let me do a feeling check-in. I'm nervous, I'm anxious, I am grateful, I am grounded. I feel safe. And I'm happy, and I feel happy. I am excited to look into all of your beautiful faces, and your faces encourage me. Every ACA meeting that I attend, I receive so much encouragement from the squares looking back. So thank you for that. So I'm going to talk today about my spiritual journey, my understanding of it, my understanding of higher power, and how my spiritual journey has grown, changed since I've been in recovery. From the beginning, I grew up in a household as a child where my mom believed in God and my dad did not. I felt like before the age of 5, 6, we didn't go to church. My mom would talk about God, we would pray, but there was no structure to it. My first experience that I can remember with God is a neighborhood girl knocked on the door. She was a friend of my older brother's, and she asked if she could take me to church. I was probably maybe 3 years old. She might have been, I don't know, 9, 10, but the church was just 2 blocks away. And my mom said yes. I hated it. Very harmful, foundational experience for me. From that point on, what I understood was church was not safe. Anybody could pinch you, anybody could slap you, anybody could be upset with you. If they didn't like how you looked, you might end up sitting on a pew by yourself. And so from the very beginning, I had an issue with God. I knew I could talk to God, but I didn't want to. I didn't see the sense of it. In my household, my mom and dad would debate about God. So I always thought God was also a volatile topic. So I didn't look forward to having discussions about God with anyone. And my parents would debate for quite a while, and they would end up very angry at each other. My dad's argument against God seemed to come out on top every time. Like, show me how God is in the world, and I'll believe. And I didn't think God showed up in the world as a child. Then we moved. We moved across the country to another state. Moved away from all my family, all my grandparents, my uncles, my aunts, my cousins. We were alone in another state. And that in itself was jarring. But occasionally we had to go to church. I always felt church was oppressive also because of all the oppression in the church against women and against the LGBTQ community. So again, it was another message that there really is no reason for me to go to church, hang out in church. One time when I was 12, and there was a church around the corner from us, and it was a mixed church, mixed race church, and the pastor was a black guy. He was new to the area, and my mom started going, and she wanted us to attend. She made us attend. And I actually enjoyed it because as a 12-year-old, he gave me things to do that I liked, and he talked about God in a very helpful manner. God didn't seem so far away. And I got baptized and I joined the church. When I look back, I got baptized and joined the church because it felt like community. It felt like friendship. It still didn't feel as safe as I wanted it to feel, but it felt better. And it felt like something I had to do because of my mother. So fast forward to I'm 16 years old. And I still really don't know if I believe in God. And, like any 16-year-old, I'm getting dressed to go to a party, to go to a dance. And I dropped my brown earrings on a brown carpet. And I look for my earrings for an hour, could not find them, and I'm late for the party. And I decide, you know what? Nothing else has worked. God, please, please help me find this earring. And I look down on the floor and my earring was there. So I'm like, oh my God. I might have to start doing something with this. Put my earring on, went to the party, but that miracle stayed with me. So one of my concepts of God is everywhere. And when I look at our 12 steps, I see God in 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, and 11 and 12. And I didn't see God so present in the steps until my growth with higher power started to take off. Now, after that 16-year-old experience, I started talking to God. I still wouldn't go to church, but I started talking to God. Not in a religious way, just conversation, because I wanted to know more about this God who could do miracles with earrings. And so I'm sure some people thought I was kind of out of it, but I literally would have conversations with God. My next miracle experience with God was when I was 17. I'm with a friend. I'm talking on the phone to her. She's in Gary, Indiana. And my other friend is at home with me, and he says, "Hey, we can fly to Gary and go pick her up." I'm like, "Okay, let's go." I've never been on in a four-seater plane. But he had it like that. So he called his dad, he made the arrangements, we go to the airport, we get in the airplane. I tell my mom, Buddy's taking us to Gary. And she's like, "Who's flying the plane?" I'm like, "Buddy is." So she kind of, anoints me with some oil. I'll see you later. Just stuff my mom used to do. We get in the plane, we start flying. We get to a point of like nowhere, and it's dark. It's the darkest black, pitch black I have ever seen. And I'm up in the air in a plane, and it's frightening. And I look at him, and he looks as frightened as I feel. So I start praying, just God, give me a sign. Give me a sign. Up is down, down is up. I don't care, God. Just give me a sign. Just give me a sign. Just give me a sign. A star appears in front of me, and I hear my friend exhale because maybe he was praying in silence too. But the star appeared. Both of us start breathing better. And then the Chicago skyline shows up. And so I'm like, this God thing is just really something is to it. We pick up my friend and Gary. We fly back, no problems. I'm still not going to church. I believe. There's no doubt about it. I believe. But what I hear about the God that people believed in, that's not feeling like the God that I believe in. That's what kept me out of church for so long. And I'm not advocating that as ACA in recovery, we need church. I'm just saying use the God of your own understanding, no matter how that God shows up. It's not your grandmama's God. It's not your mom's God. It's your God. My God is, can be anything I need my God to be. If I'm in the water, in the ocean, and I'm feeling out of sorts, my God could show up as this lifeguard just saying, hey, you need some help? My God can show up as flowers when I need beauty. My God can show up as the rocks when I just want to ground and connect. Grass under my feet, okra growing that I planted in the summertime. To me, all that is God. I love gardening because I get to participate in creation. And that's just magnificent and full of miracles for me because it can show up so different every single time. So yes, have a God of your own understanding and push back against anybody who doesn't want you to have that. Matter of fact, I wouldn't even no, I can't say that. So I'm actually a minister now. I've been a minister for over 15 years, and it still surprises me. It still shocks me. But having a God of your own understanding just means you have your own unique theology. And even if you don't believe in God, there's something there to ground you. Higher power, energy, universe. I use all of that. Because why? Because my God is so great that my God is all of that. When people turn their nose down at Hinduism and Buddhist and Confucius, it makes no sense to me because to me, my God created that too. And it all fits. And it's all a tool for me to use to be my true self. All of it is. What got me into the church? It's I'll just be honest, it started with a woman. And I ended up following a woman to Atlanta. Worst thing I could have done in my life. But immediately I needed to move. And a friend of mine said, you can live with me as long as you need to. You just have to go to church on Sunday. And I'm like, really? Yeah, just go to church with me on Sunday. She was a minister, very much involved in the church. Very good friend, very cool sister. I'm like, I've been talking and arguing with God all my life. I could do that from church. So I moved in with her. And I started going to church. And I really started enjoying like Sunday school and Bible study because I could start asking all these questions about God. I did that for the year that I stayed in Atlanta, and then I moved back to Detroit. And when I got back to Detroit, I wanted to find a church home. And I found a church home. And that's where I'm now a minister. I'm not the pastor. I'm a minister, part of the clergy team. And I feel like God put me there for protection. Protection plays a big role in my life. And it always has. When it comes to when I used to date, when I used to be single, I wouldn't date anybody. I wouldn't take anyone on as a girlfriend. The first question to me was, could you protect me? If you couldn't protect me, I wouldn't date you. For me, God is protection. God is safety. God is everything. And I fall back on that time and time again. That's one of my core, one of my foundational characteristics. I need safety and protection in my life. And since recovery gives me that. I no longer look for it from someone else. I no longer look for it from my spouse. I'm the protector. I'm the loving parent. And God holds me down. And that's like a great part of the relationship that I have with higher power now is protection. One of the things that I wish I knew sooner was that God really is my protector. And when I was looking for it from girlfriends, from my parents, from other people, I could have looked inside and got it from God. So other ways that I understand God. When I'm teaching Sunday school or Bible study, after I've taught a class, one of the most common pieces of feedback that I get is that they love how I teach with a different perspective. I don't teach within the four walls of the church. I don't teach within the pages of the Bible, because for me, God is bigger than the Bible. God is everything. All the different ways that higher power speaks isn't in the Bible. I don't believe that God is contained in books. God is beyond books. God is beyond what I can even imagine and brings me all kinds of joy in my life. God grounds me. God helps me through grief. I recently lost a dear friend. It's been less than 30 days. And I've not experienced this before, this kind of grief. And I am so glad that I'm in recovery. I'm so glad that I have a relationship with my higher power, because it's higher power and recovery that's getting me through this. It's higher power and recovery that says to me it's okay for me to cry. That it's okay for me to be sad about my loss. And it's okay for me 5 minutes later to be laughing because of a memory that I have about her. The the multiple ways that emotion shows up within us, to me, is like a reflection of the multiple ways that higher power can show up. It's like unending. It's just vast. Higher power has taught me that I don't have to be limited in my emotions. So not just grief, not just sadness, not just pain, but joy, laughter, humility, I'm still an ACA person in recovery who doesn't have enough words and vocabulary for all of these emotions that we experience. But I get all of them, and I get to use all of them. Anger, yeah. So I attribute higher power to having so many more emotions and expressions and feelings that I have. I can look back to a time when I was flat and only had one expression, only knew two or three emotions, and I get to have them all in one day now just because of recovery. Okay. I thank higher power with allowing me to discern who I am more. I thank higher power for helping me peel back the layers and allowing me to see more of myself. Sometimes that happens very slowly, and sometimes it happens quite rapidly, or I'll have a jolt. Sometimes that jolt is like a spiritual awakening. And I think I had a spiritual awakening recently. And I don't know how God speaks to anybody else, but God speaks to me in many ways, but for sure through music, through movies, through culture, through people. So I had this movie stuck in my head for many, many years. And when I think about this movie, I think I saw it when I was about 2 or 3 years old. And all I remember about this movie is the title, the song that goes with the title, that a man had reincarnated into a woman, and then the woman reincarnated into a dog. But I know for sure I saw the whole movie as a very young child. And every now and then this movie would, you know, the title, the song might come up into my head, it's like a little jingle, and I would push it away, push it away. Well, this past weekend, I sat down to watch TV, turned TV on, scrolling, and I see this movie is about to come on. And I'm like, ah, okay, God, it's time. It's time for me to figure out why this movie has been in my head all of my life. So the name of the movie is Goodbye, Charlie. It's an old classic. If you're not as old as me, you don't know it. It might even be a black and white. It might be colorized. But what the movie is about, I was shocked when I saw it. The movie tells a story of this playboy who was a womanizer. He got shot and killed going after a woman. And he's reincarnated into a woman that loves women. And when I saw that part, I'm like, oh my God, my 2-year-old, when I was two, when I was three and saw this movie, she had enough sense to make me forget what this movie was about so I wouldn't tell anybody that that was a part of me, that I loved women. I didn't even know that was in the movie. I didn't even know there was a lesbian basically in this movie. I didn't have words for it back then when I first saw it. But my true self, that was still there when I was 2 or 3 years old, understood this was something I couldn't tell the people who took care of me, or life might get worse for me. So it disappeared. And now that movie came back, and I've been journaling about it. The other thing that's really neat is that I've been in conversation with my siblings lately through texting. And we've been talking about our childhood and different memories that we have back then. And I'm looking forward to asking them if they remember the movie, if they remember watching it with me. I have a sibling who's in recovery, who's in ACA, and I love it when he tells me something or I hear him share about something in our childhood, because it's always a different memory than mine. It's always something that makes me grow. It's always something where I get to sit and talk to God about the memory, about my inner child. Back when the memory happened, and how it affects us today, how it affects me and my inner child today. This for me is like another spiritual awakening. What it's telling me is that my 2 or 3-year-old was my true self. And I get to sit with her and talk to her now, that inner child. And I have a better view of who I stopped myself from being. What else was stuffed down? What else have I not remembered? What is ready to come up out of my 2, 3-year-old? A part of the way that I connect with my inner child, and it helps me expand my spiritual growth, is I have stuffies. This is one of my stuffies. This is baby. This is my baby represents the infant me. And when I'm connecting with baby, she just sits here on my neck and I hold her. And sometimes she talks and sometimes she just wants to smile and be held. And when I do this, I know I'm being the loving parent I didn't have. But I'm also growing spiritually because it calms me, it centers me, it grounds me, and my head becomes so clear that I can hear a higher power much better. Nothing gets in the way when I'm calm, sitting and hugging with baby. So I have other inner children that help me grow spiritually. I have six inner children. Just so happens that I also have six siblings. That's real coincidence. I didn't plan that. It just worked out that way. So I have baby, who's the infant me. I have Dee Dee, who's the toddler me. I have Luscious. She's about 5 to 7. I have AJ. She's my inner teenager. I have Alicia. She's my young adult. And sometimes we all sit together and gather and have a conversation with each other. Sometime I have a conversation with them individually. I wake up in the morning and I greet God, but I also greet my inner children and show them love, the love that I get from my higher power. My inner child, baby, my inner child, Dee Dee, and my inner child. I'm missing one. I'm missing one. They all lived with me in the other state. When I was 6 or 7, we moved from Nebraska to Michigan. So those inner children have the memory of that foundational home. And I, you know, it's my hometown. A lot happened there, but life changed drastically when we moved. And my inner children changed drastically after that move. I didn't have a nickname before I moved. And my inner child always wonders, where did I get a nickname? Everybody in my family, all my siblings have a nickname, but I didn't have one until that move. I've not asked my mother why she started calling me Luscious when I was 7 years old. Maybe I don't talk to my mom a lot. She's pretty negative. She's one of those people that I love from a distance. But that's a question that my inner child has. Why did I become Luscious? And she only called me Luscious for a certain period of time, and then it stopped. I don't know. So there's Baby, there's Dee Dee, there's Alicia, there's Luscious, there's AJ, and there's Alicia. Sometimes we just sit in a circle and we talk with God, whatever comes up. It might be what happened to me at work today, because my inner children will pop up at work when they're not invited. That calls for a calm conversation so that I can reparent and redirect that kind of situation. Work is much more pleasant when I do it as an adult versus when I do it as one of my inner children. What else can I tell you? Something else that came up out of this revelation about the movie, this question. I realized that my inner 2-year-old, my inner toddler, was protecting me from something. And I wonder, what else is she protecting me from, or who else is she protecting me from? I also wonder, and I'm in awe of the power that my inner 2-year-old had at that time to protect me. I want to be the kind of parent that protects all of my inner children in that way, in a way that's not stuffing, but in a way that's loving, in a way that's guiding, in a way that's protection, in a way that's nurturing. In a way that's love. In a way that's precious. That's how I feel when I think about all of my inner children. And that's how I feel when I think about the way higher power loves me. I don't believe in an Old Testament God. When I have to teach on Old Testament, I let people know right away that my theology doesn't allow me to believe in a God that was slaughter of people. And we're gonna have disagreements, but it doesn't. If I had to believe in a God that was like that, I wouldn't believe in a God. I would believe in something else that was loving, something else that's nurturing. I'm in a group currently that's reading the Bible in 365 days. And after we read a section, we have discussion. And it's not unusual for me to say that I disagree with how God treated the people in the Bible. And I feel safe saying that. And the only reason I feel safe saying that is because I know clear and through that higher power loves me, and I don't have to believe in that kind of nonsense. A God who created the universe couldn't be jealous. Why? A God that created the universe wouldn't murder. Why? So I have to default to a theology that's different, that God is caring, that God is loving, that God is nurturing. And I hope you noticed that I haven't said that God is he, that God is him. That's just not who God is in my mind. And yeah, if God had to be a gender, I think we all would be, this world would be more messed up. Let's see. I think mostly that the God I believe in is a God that can be nameless, has very few rules, with the main rule of caring for everyone, with the main rule of us allowing people to be who they truly are. I believe everyone is a child of God. Everyone is known by higher power. I believe that higher power provides to us all in an abundant way. I know there are folks who would push back and say, well, what about this? What about that? I believe we live in a world that is created, a world that started, and events occur and happen, and higher power works to nurture us through it all. Higher power works to love us through it all. And it is up to us to keep growing spiritually, keep growing through recovery, where we finally figure out who our true self is and have the understanding of who higher power is. I think I'll end with my conscious contact with God is through prayer, through meditation, and music. Lately, I come home from work and I meditate. And for me, meditation is listening to God. It is being able to breathe and clear my mind enough so I hear and I'm grounded. I hear the present. I'm in the present moment. So much so that if God needs to speak to me, I can hear God in those moments, in those times. My biggest teacher for meditation is my doggie. When I sit down on the couch after work, he sits down next to me. He's a little Westie named Porkchop. He sits down next to me and he knows it's meditation time. And we just sit and stare out the window. And I take deep breaths to center myself. I have some brown noise going on in the background. He seems to like that too, Porkchop. And I sit and I meditate and clear my mind of my day's work, or interference that keeps me from connecting to my higher power. And after that 20 minutes, I feel great. I feel relieved. I feel grounded. I feel connected. And I feel closer to my true self. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for the invitation. I'm grateful. And I passed.